Well, I read an issue of Christianity Today. It's kind of an older issue. It's several years ago. But it was an article entitled, The New Unimproved Jesus. That's how it was listed. A guy by the named N.T. Wright, he was the writer. He quotes a number of authors and so-called Bible scholars who have done their study and give their conclusions about Jesus. So I want to read you just a couple of quotes from three people from the article. Their impression, their idea, their conclusions about Jesus. Now, I want you to know this. As we look at these quotes, we see the wisdom of man, which is unable to know God. So I want you to let me give you. For here's a guy by the name of A.N. Wilson, and here's what he said. He said, Jesus was a good Jewish lad with a brilliant flair for moral teaching. He would have been horrified to think that people worshipped him as divine. He certainly didn't rise from the dead. That was all a mistake. Now, that's A.N. Wilson. That's his view of what Christ is like. Second, here's Barbara Thiering. She writes, Jesus was part of a sect that lived at Qumran. He was married and had three children. He was divorced and remarried. He did not die on a cross, but lived on and went on missionary travels with Paul. That's strange that Paul never mentioned Jesus. Yeah, and, you know, Paul mentioned everybody else who traveled with him. So you'd think that Paul would talk about saying, you know, while we were there, Jesus happened to be here. Of course, he's now married and divorced twice and all this, but that's not in there. And then a guy by the name of John Sprong wrote this. He said he was not born of a virgin, since Mary had probably been raped. He himself was married at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and that was probably his own wedding. His own gospels are to be read as what they call midrash, which is retelling a story. He says the truth of these aspects about Jesus aren't necessarily truth. Well, this indeed is the wisdom of man. Some of the guys were telling me that the other night there's a television program that was on, and it was talking about some scholars are going to talk about Jesus and what they found out about him. And of course, some of the guys who saw it said that you get so frustrated because they claim to know, you know, they claim to be scholars. And so people turning in the television are going to say, oh, what do these people have to say? And of course, it's not what the Bible says because they don't hold to the scripture. This indeed is the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man, man is not able in his own wisdom to come to know God. In fact, there's a contrast between man's wisdom, who says the cross is foolish, where the wisdom of God, who in love so loved us, sent his only begotten son. Well, this evening, we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, how reveals to foolish man. Now, think about the Holy Spirit reveals to foolish man the truth of God, the wisdom of God, and the whole aspect is his work of salvation. The Holy Spirit does his work in salvation and in the growth of believers. So we'll see that in these verses. Now, you know, as I was studying this today, and of course, I've already studied next time because the whole thing put together, it's a little bit hard because he's continually going back and forth between wisdom of man, wisdom of God, and how that man can't know God, and that God, not by himself, and yet God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who reveals. And so he talks about all this in basically the first two chapters. When he gets into chapter 3, he begins to get on them a little bit about the fact that they're not growing and they're not maturing and that they should know the Bible by now. And as we get into that, that'll be a couple of weeks from now. But let me remind you of what we have seen, or let me give you the flow of this passage. For the past several weeks, we have seen Paul in chapters 1 and 2 is showing salvation's all of God, not of man. Man thinks the cross is foolish. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. Mankind, the world as a whole, can't know God. In fact, verse 18 of chapter 1 says, the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. And that God has chosen to save people, not by the wisdom of man, but by the foolish message which is the cross, and whoever would believe in Jesus Christ. That's how he put it. Well, last time we saw that Paul emphasized that salvation was all of God, and man could never boast in anything except the whole idea of God and his power and not what man does. Well, this evening, let me let you think about a couple of questions. First of all, if man can't know God, and if he misses the message, how in the world is he going to ever be able to believe the message if fallen man can't know God? Well, the answer, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit. If you think about the Gospel of John, and when Jesus was telling his men, and he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. And then he says, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he talked about there's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's so many other things. Let me break down this passage for you tonight. in this little outline, we'll start with verse 6, where we see God's wisdom, the message of the cross proclaimed by Paul, but missed by the world. They didn't understand it. And then the next section starts with 10 through 16. We'll just actually get a little bit in 10 and a little bit in 11 just to put it together, come back more details next time. But he talks about the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals God's plan. And believers understand God's message through because they have the Holy Spirit, or because the Holy Spirit does the ministry. And of course, believers get it that way. Unbelievers can't know it. That's verse 14. That's the famous verse. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. That's the verse. And then the last part deals with the believer's appraisal. And he talks about how you know nobody can appraise us, and what can we know, and those kind of things. And we'll see that more just in a couple of weeks. Well, let's get a little running start. Go back to chapter 2, verse 1, and I want you to see that Paul begins to talk about his ministry. And notice what he says, verse 1 of chapter 2. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. He said, when I came, it wasn't my good I was a speaker. It wasn't my cleverness. In fact, verse 2 says, I just determined nothing. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, we saw this last time. So all Paul is really saying is, the thing I want you to remember is, when I come, I didn't come to you with neat ways of saying things and clever ways to kind of get your attention. I came to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. He goes down in verse 4 and says, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. When he said words of wisdom, he's not talking about God's wisdom there. He's talking about man's wisdom. He says, not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, we talked about this last week, and I think it is so vital. We must remember that when you have an opportunity to present truth to someone, and when I say truth, the truth of the Bible, truth about salvation, the Christian life, those kind of things, the emphasis is not your persuasive ability, it's not your personality, it's not the exact perfect words you're going to use. That's not the issue. The issue is the truth of God's Word. And he said, my message wasn't in this persuasive things, but it was the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It's God's Spirit through us. And then he tells us why. So that your faith, he says, when I came, I didn't do this. So your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And I love that, because that's the key. And you know, in a position like I am, and I get to teach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Wednesday night, I get to do all this teaching. Well, the truth is, I never have to worry about is, am I clever or sharp or tall? You don't have to worry about any of those things, right? What you worry about is it the truth of the Word of God? Is it the Bible? Because that's all that matters. Because the Bible is what? It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the what? Soul and the spirit, both of the joints and the matter, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's a great verse. And that's what the Bible does. It goes right in there. Isaiah 55:11. It never comes back void, but accomplishes the purpose. So whenever you teach Scripture, whenever you teach truth, God's going to use His Word, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict or touch or illuminate or all the things that the ministry of the Holy Spirit does. So the idea there is, He says, it's not your wisdom, it's the power of God what counts. So you should always have confidence whenever you teach the Bible. Whenever you teach the Bible, you don't have to say, oh, I hope they like me. I hope I say it right. I hope I don't look stupid. You know, the issue is not you. The issue is the Word of God. So that's why Paul says, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. That's the key. Now, from there, he's now going to deal with this whole issue of wisdom, and that the wisdom that Paul proclaimed is God's wisdom, and how that wisdom, number one, can't be known by human beings, not natural people, but God uses the Holy Spirit to help them understand. Watch. He says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Now, here's his point. He proclaimed a message that was God's wisdom, but we're going to find in just a second. But that wisdom would not be able to be understood by natural people. Watch how he says it. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Now, the wisdom here is not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. He says the wisdom that we speak, and this is the whole idea of God's message of salvation, all of these kind of things, we speak this wisdom among those who are mature. Now, the word mature there means growing. It means not a baby. And he says, this is the message that we give. Notice a contrast. A wisdom, however, not of this age. It's a wisdom of God. It is not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. He says, this wisdom is not this world's wisdom. Now, he's already said, when I came to you, I didn't come with these clever words. I didn't come with man's wisdom. I didn't come with, you know, you hear this all the time. I get things in the mail. And you know what it says? How to reach this community for Christ. And they've got things like, you've got to pick a target audience. A target audience? You can only reach certain people? You can only try to have your church reach certain people? That's the wisdom of the world. You got to have a target audience. Because deep down, you can only reach certain people anyway. Is that true? Isn't the gospel for everybody? Isn't this church for everybody? The wisdom of man says, get you a target audience, go after that, get your niche, bring those people in, you'll have a successful ministry. That's the wisdom of the world. Paul didn't say, you know, I'm only going to reach the people that are in this demographic. The rest of you people, sorry, that's just not why I came. No. So he says, this is wisdom not of this age. See, the wisdom of this world, the fallen system, he says, I'm not coming with this wisdom that we proclaim is not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. And he's talking about the world leaders. He says, who are passing away. And what he's saying is there is the wisdom of man passes away. It's temporary. Things of man are temporary. The things of God are eternal. The wisdom of God is not man's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. If you think about the contrast, man's wisdom says that man is really the smartest one. We're the center of everything. If you're gonna do something great, we got to come up with it and figure out a way to do it. But God's wisdom says that God is the center. God is the key one. God is the personal God. And if you're going to come up with anything, it's got to be God through you. Notice what he says. We speak wisdom not of this age, nor of the rulers of the age who are passing away. Verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Now he says this, we speak wisdom, but it's God's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And you know, if you said, how can I have God's wisdom? How can you have God's wisdom? Where do you go? Word of God. That's it. He says, we speak God's wisdom. You know, if you'd have come to Paul and said, Paul, where did you get your message? Where did Paul say he got his message from? If you remember in the study of Galatians, where did Paul say he got his message? Jesus Christ. So the message that we proclaim, he says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Now, mystery, if you remember, a mystery is something that was hidden, something that had not been revealed but is made known. Now, he says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. Hidden in what way? Hidden from who? The natural man. Now, he doesn't mean I'm not going to let natural man know. What he's saying, it's hidden from natural man because the natural man is not able to understand it. The unbelieving person in this world is not able to understand the truths of God. We say, that doesn't make sense. So they're out there and we're supposed to tell them about Jesus Christ. And we'd say, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And technically, the unbelieving person goes, I don't understand anything you're talking about. Well, how in the world are they going to know? The Holy Spirit. And that's what he's going to get to in just a minute. He says, we speak a wisdom. We speak wisdom, God's wisdom in a mystery, hidden wisdom. I mean, hidden that wasn't revealed or not revealed to natural man. And then he goes on to say, this wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. He says, this is the plan that God planned beforehand. Predestined just means to plan beforehand. Beforehand, God had planned this whole wisdom thing, which is the seed of woman will do what? Crush the head of the serpent, the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, the son of Mary, the son of God, the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The wisdom that God had planned from all eternity is the lamb of God is going to take away the sin of the world. the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He says, so this is a wisdom that, that in a sense is hidden from mankind, which God planned before, even before the ages to our glory. It's that we glory where? In the cross of Jesus Christ. So Paul says this wisdom is God's message that's long before. God proclaimed God's glorious message of Christ, but natural man can't get it. Why? Because the cross is foolish to natural man, and the world didn't know it, as he said earlier. So how do they get it? Watch. He goes on to explain that first of all, they can't grasp it. Watch. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age, verse 8, has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, he's not giving them an out. He's just telling them this, that we speak God's wisdom in the mystery, but it is the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. The wisdom message is that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has come to the earth, that he has come to be the substitute for mankind, that he has come to take the sin debt upon himself, to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, to be the one who is led to the slaughter, to be the one who is bruised and wounded for our iniquities, to die on the cross and to be raised from the dead and to give life to all who believe. That's the wisdom plan. And he says, this wisdom, which none of the rulers of this age has understood. The rulers he's talking about, of course, when Paul wrote this, would be Herod and Pilate and Caesar and the religious world leaders and Caiaphas, the high priest. They all missed him. They all missed him. See, Caiaphas was so upset, worrying about that Jesus was going to cause enough trouble, they'd take his position away. And Pilate was so upset that he thought, if I don't do something about this Jesus and his uproar and come, Roman government, who is appointing me to this position, will take my position away. And so instead of focusing on who was Jesus, they missed him. And of course, why did they miss him? Because the rulers of this age, none of them have understood. He's going to explain it in just a minute, why they couldn't understand it. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When someone understands who Jesus is, as he's saying, if they would have just understood it, they probably wouldn't have done what they did. Now, the natural man, verse 14, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Cannot. Can't know it. He goes on to explain why. Notice. Just as is written, and he's quoting Isaiah 64, and he says, things which the eye have not seen, and the ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who loved him. He said, God's wisdom, plan, and purposes can't come naturally. The natural man, by his eyes, by what he's seen, I think we can put it up there, eyes not seen. It's not through the eyes. It's not what we see. Man didn't look out at Jesus and say, I got who he is. Or ear has not heard. It's not but what they heard, even when he taught, that kind of thing. Or the heart of the mind. He says, it's not entered in the heart of mind. They couldn't figure it out. He's saying, from a natural way, mankind, in the natural self, could not figure out who he is in his plan. Notice, it which is it, an eye has not seen, ear has not heard, that which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. That's quoting from Isaiah 64. I've got a quote that says, this is, according to Paul, a wisdom that cannot be known scientifically. No eye has seen, ear has heard. It cannot be figured out rationally. No mind has conceived it. It cannot be discovered at all. It must be disclosed. Now, I want you to get the flow of the passage. He's saying, we're proclaiming a wisdom message, a message from God, not from man. He says, we give this message that the rulers of this world didn't even understand it. In fact, mankind can't understand it. Why can't they understand it? Because you can't get it by seeing, you can't get it by hearing, you can't get it by even thinking about it. He says, it comes another way. It comes because, and we're going to see, that the Holy Spirit reveals it. Now, have you ever heard people say about this verse right here? They say, you know, there's so many things the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, or the mind has not even thought what God has prepared for us. And one day when we get to heaven, we'll see all these things. That's not what that verse is saying at all. The verse is not saying, gosh, you can't see or hear or even think about what God has prepared for you. and you'll get it one day. No, he says you have it right now. Notice the next verse. Eye has not seen, ears not heard, and it was not entered in the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. His point is this, that the natural person can't know it, but we can know these things that you can't see with your eyes and hear and imagine. We know it because God has revealed it through the Spirit. And so the point I want you to see before we go any further is that as he's teaching this, Paul's saying, I came with this message, and it wasn't the message of wisdom of man and clever talking and all that. I came with the message of Christ. I came with the message from God, and it's not a message that the natural person is going to pick up. That's why you don't have to use natural methods to try to reach people, because they can't grasp it. He says you go with the message of the cross, and the Spirit of God is what's going to reveal this to them. Notice, for to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And he goes on and talks about it, and we'll see more on that next time. But he's saying God has prepared this great truth for mankind, and he has revealed it. Do you know what he's revealed to us? Not only has he revealed to us the truth about salvation, he's revealed to us the truth about the Christian life. He's revealed to us the truth about the future and the things he's going to do. Our Sunday school class on Sunday morning, we've been looking at the ministry of Christ in the future, and it's the end times events, and it's talking about him coming in the clouds and coming to the earth, and it is amazing. He's revealed all that to us. Natural man's not going to grasp that. Natural man can't grasp on any of these things because the eye can't see it and the ear can't hear it and the heart can't figure it all out. But God has revealed it to us, as he says. But to us, God revealed these things, these truths through the Spirit. So it's powerful. Now, what are the things that, and I think there are two key areas, I think that's what we have here, two key areas that the Holy Spirit makes known to man. One, as unbelievers, he makes known the salvation message, the knowing the truth of Christ and the cross. You already know, and I didn't put verses up there, but if you go to John 16, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed. See, the issue that the Holy Spirit deals with the unbeliever is that they have not believed in Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died and paid for sin and rose again. That's the cross of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is going to convict that. So the natural man who can't comprehend that and understand that, the Holy Spirit makes known to the unbeliever. That's why when you deal with people who do not know Christ as Savior, and you're talking about the truth, the issue you must stay on is not is what's about the book of Genesis and those days and Jonah and you know, when does this and what book is this? The issue is, will you believe in Christ as your Savior? That's the issue. Because that's what the Holy Spirit's convicting the unbeliever of, that they would know the truth of salvation in Christ. As believers, the Holy Spirit is helping us know and apply the Word of God and to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So he has a twofold ministry. And sometime we'll take the time, especially when we get a little further on in the book, and we'll talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Ephesians, we talked about a little bit how what he does at salvation, what he does after salvation, all of these things. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time doing ministry and helping us to understand truth. Now, as we look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there are three things that stand out in this little section. We won't get them all tonight, but there are three ways that the Holy Spirit makes known this stuff to us. He reveals, that's revelation. He illuminates, that's illumination, and in a sense through inspiration, which is the written word. In fact, I think I have a next slide, that in verse 10 he's going to talk about revelation, how he makes himself known. That's what revelation is, God making himself known. Verse 12, he's going to talk about illumination, how the Holy Spirit helps us to understand truth. And then in verse 13, there's inspiration, the written truth through the Bible, and I'll show you that. It'll be next week, but some of this is tonight. Let me remind you, he says, first of all, in verse 10, this is the verse that I don't know if I have. There's not another slide, is except good. Okay, verse 10 is going to do with the whole idea of revelation. Watch what he says. For to us God revealed, there's the word, revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So the first thing we want to know is the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. He says, to us, God revealed them. Revealed what? All of these things that I can't see and ear can't hear and my heart of man hasn't entered in there. God reveals all of these things. That's revelation. God makes himself known. By the Holy Spirit, he reveals these things. things about salvation, things about the Christian life, and it's powerful. So how do you know truth? Let me say it this way. As you were, in your mind, you were beginning to think about God. You were beginning to think about eternal salvation. You began to think about what's going to happen when you die. You were thinking that, and what God was doing was bringing you to Himself, and the Holy Spirit was convicting you. And as you got to these truths, somebody, somewhere, got information to you about Jesus Christ, and how He died on the cross, and how He paid for sins, and He rose again. And God so loved you that whoever believes, you know, would have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin that you have not what? Believed. You know, I talked to a person just recently, and he says, he was sort of a brand new Christian, and he said, you know, I need to get with people so I can, first of all, I don't know how to share my faith, and I want to get with them, you know, and tell them about sin and how they get. And I said, the issue in salvation is not their personal sins. It is the sin of not believing in Christ as Savior. It is not they need to stop this and stop this and stop this, because even if they do, that doesn't give them eternal life. The issue in salvation is, will they believe in Christ? And so that's how we knew that. And so he says, for unto us, God revealed them through the Spirit, the whole issues. And then notice what he says, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, Paul writes this in sort of a strange way, and he says, you know, the Spirit searches everything. Spirit searching to get information to give to us. I can still, if you remember in the Gospel of John, as Jesus was about to leave, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you. And there are a lot of things I'd like to teach you, but you can't know them right now. You can't grasp them. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth comes, what will He do? He will guide you and teach you in all things. Now, he's talking to those particular guys, and I think the information he was talking to them about was what's going to end up being the New Testament revelation. Because a lot of those guys wrote the New Testament. But it is no doubt, and we'll see next week, that the Holy Spirit illumines Scripture and helps us understand it. But here he says, the Holy Spirit revealed it. He searches all these things. And then I like how he says it, even the depths of God, even the deep things. So let me say this to you, that as you have the written revelation from God, He has revealed all this to us, that as time goes by and as you study, you will be able to grasp and comprehend and understand the deep things of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to continue to reveal. He's going to illuminate. We'll get that down in verse 12. And He's going to do all those other things. But verse 13, He'll talk about the inspiration of the Word of God. Now, let me show you one last thing, and we'll come back to this one next week. But He shows us how it works. Because He just said, the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And then He says this. This is how it works. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except who? The Spirit of God. Put it simply, He says this way. How can any man know the things of man unless you're a man? You're a human being. You know how other human beings think. He says, in contrast to that, how can anyone know what God thinks unless you are God, the Holy Spirit? That's what He's saying. He said, so likewise, how can anyone know the things of God except the Spirit of God? So He's saying Holy Spirit knows what God wants us to know because the Holy Spirit's God. And so He tells us. He searches the deep things of God the Father, and the Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of the God the Father and God the Son and reveals it to us. That's what He does. And the bottom line is, you know, you could say, I know just how you feel. How does a human being know how another human being feels? Because human beings are human beings, and we know how we feel and we know how we think. And then He's saying, and in that same way, God the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God the Father thinks and wants us to know because the Holy Spirit is God. He's the same. So it's pretty powerful. Next time we'll get a little flow and we'll see some great truths about the written revelation. And then we're going to talk about the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man, which is at the end of the passage and actually goes into chapter 3 as well. So there's so much. As we think about God making known to us His plans and purposes. Now, what have we seen? We've seen the message that Paul proclaimed, the cross, the death and resurrection of Christ, the wisdom of God was not able to be understood by the unbelievers, not able to be understood by natural man. Why? Because it comes by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals it to people in two different areas. One, for the issue of salvation, and two, for the issue of growth. And so that's why there's revelation, illumination, and inspiration by the Holy Spirit so that we can know it. Because the natural man can't, but with God's, through God the Spirit, we can. So let me give you applications real quick. Understand the difference between believers and unbelievers. Understand the difference. A, that the unbelievers can't know or understand, can't know God and can't understand the gospel. They can't know those things. Why? They don't have the Holy Spirit. B, believers can know God, the truths about salvation and the deep things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's revealing it. And so we want to get very practical about that. And so think about this. I think the next slide, it says it's a practical. When we share the message, realize the Holy Spirit must be working. When you go out and talk to people about Jesus Christ, you must realize the Holy Spirit is convicting them of what? Sin that they have not believed. I've seen people talk to people about, you need to stop this, or you need to stop this, or you need to get your act together, or you need to get this. The truth is, the Holy Spirit's not convicting them of that. In fact, if they get bothered about that and think, okay, I need to stop these things, they've missed the point of the gospel. They're thinking, somehow I clean up my life, I do something, and God will be pleased with me. The whole issue of salvation is not doing something to please God. It is believing the truth of Jesus Christ for eternal life. And so that's why I'm saying that since the natural man doesn't get it, to be practical, we need to share the message and realize the Holy Spirit must be working, and we stay on the issue of Jesus Christ. It's powerful because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws, those kind of things. Number two is realize the Holy Spirit teaches us the truths of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that does it. I think I've got a slide. He reveals and illuminates God's written word, that's inspiration, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he reveals the truth. He illuminates the truth. He gives us the written revelation, which we have. That's how we know. So all this concept of what Paul's writing in chapter 2 is, listen, natural people can't grasp it. And he said, when I came, I didn't come trying to use the tools of the natural world. I came with the cross because the Holy Spirit's going to be the one to convict. The Holy Spirit's going to be the one to reveal it because natural eyes and ears and minds can't grasp this. God is the one that does it. He's the one that reveals it. He's the one that illuminates. He's the one that gives us written inspiration. That's how we know it. So may we understand that since unbelievers cannot know the things of God, that the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals it. He reveals the truth about salvation, and he reveals the truth and principles for growth. There's a lot there. There's more even next time. We'll get it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a passage, Lord. We think about what the Holy Spirit is doing, and that, Lord, it just gives us comfort to know that even though fallen man can't grasp these truths, that because of the Holy Spirit who convicts, who reveals, who illumines, who puts it all together, we can not only know that fallen man who can't grasp it can actually know the truth about salvation, and as believers, we can actually know the things about Christian life and growth and the deeper things of God because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we be encouraged to know that when we go, and when we share, it is not how clever we are, how smart we are, what method we use, or anything like that. It is the Holy Spirit who is convicting. It is the Holy Spirit who is illuminating. It is the Holy Spirit who is using us and the Word of God to touch lives. Lord, help us to have confidence as we go to give out the truths of the gospel and the Word of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.